All right, church, let's pray. Almighty God and Father, as the Holy Scriptures are read and your holy word proclaimed, reveal to us the way of salvation by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may not grow weary in doing what is right. Amen. Please, open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God, coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. If you have ever read through the book of Acts, you quickly realize that it clearly shows that spiritual gifts played a crucial role in effectively proclaiming the gospel, building up the early church, and enabling its rapid growth. In fact, the very first act of the newborn church was supernatural. The disciples spoke miraculously in language they had not learned before. And what is it that the Holy Spirit had supernaturally declared through them? The mighty works of God, Acts 2:11. That is, God's supernatural interventions among his people. Friends, the supernatural is embedded in the very DNA of the true Christian church. 22 out of 28 chapters of the book of Acts were, or about three quarters, mention healings, deliverance from demons, prophecies, supernatural knowledge, miracles, or the resurrection of the dead. These were the acts and works of God through God's people and church. Charismatic activity involving spiritual gifts was not only common among early church believers, but also widespread and crucial to the remarkable growth and success of the early church. And that same Holy Spirit and those same gifts are needed today for the growth and success of the church today. The Apostle Paul provides extensive teaching on spiritual gifts, emphasizing that they are highly valuable for the church's life and mission, not just optional extras for those who like that sort of thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, the church is urged to earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, indicating something essential and urgent that should be sincerely pursued. The Greek phrase used here can also be translated as have zeal for or be zealous towards. So we are meant to have zeal for or to be zealous for having the spiritual gifts for the sake of God's mission, his church, and his people. The crucial importance of spiritual gifts in preaching the gospel was strongly emphasized to the Apostle Paul after his unsuccessful attempt to persuade the Greeks in Athens with only clever speeches. Having returned to proclaim the gospel alongside healing signs and wonders, he later wrote to the Corinthians, "My speech and my message were not profitable words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. People of God, what do we want people's faith to depend on today? Shouldn't we desire what the Apostle Paul desired? As individuals and as a church, both locally and internationally, we must ask ourselves whether we can honestly say that we share the mind of Christ on this very subject, as expressed in God's holy word. Do we earnestly desire the manifestation of spiritual gifts in our own lives and in the service and ministry of the church today? Do we truly consider them normal to Christianity and see their absence as a significant loss that must be addressed urgently? It is helpful to know that the exercise of spiritual gifts did not cease with the death of the apostles and early disciples, nor did the spiritual gifts stop with the establishment and canon of God's holy word. Nor did God stop some of the spiritual gifts over time. We have numerous written testimonies from faithful Christians across centuries detailing how God manifested the miraculous through his people and his church by the Holy Spirit and through his spiritual gifts. Today, I would like to review some of those testimonials. Some come from brilliant men like Origen, Cyril of Jerusalem, and Augustine of Hippo. Others come from Christians who sacrificed their very lives for the true Christian faith, such as Justin Martyr, who was also brilliant, and Cyprian. I share these details with you about these men to give you the confidence that these testimonies are true. Good historians and theologians would agree that they are credible. I also present these testimonies to reassure you that the spiritual gifts are meant to be used in the church today, and also to convince you that I'm not crazy. But we know that that ship has already sailed. That what I'm teaching you about the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts are both biblical and historical, which then points to a current reality. Throughout every era of the Christian church, there are faithful testimonies that spiritual gifts were actively used in the church's life and mission. These writings from notable Christians do not merely present isolated opinions, but instead demonstrate a culture of supernatural ministry that was common within the church. These writings provide us with a vision and a model to follow today. Let's begin with Irenaeus of Lyons, who we heard from last week, but here's another quote from him. In his book, Against Heresies, Irenaeus reports, We hear many brothers in the church who possess prophetic gifts and bring to light for the general benefit the hidden things of men. And again, as I cited in my last sermon, for some truly drive out devils, others have foreknowledge of things to come, others still heal the sick. Yea, moreover, the dead have even been raised up and remained among us for many years. Justin Martyr, the great and brilliant apologist, also writing in the first half of the second century, testifies, "For numberless demonics throughout the whole world and in your city, many of our Christian men exercising them in the name of Jesus Christ, who was crucified under Pontius Pilate, has healed and do heal, rendering helpless and driving the possessing devils out of men, though they could not be cured by all the other exorcists and those who use incantations and drugs." Cyril of Jerusalem exhorts the newly baptized to welcome spiritual gifts as they are baptized. "Let each prepare himself for reception of the heavenly gifts. And now, brethren beloved, the word of instruction exhorts you all to prepare your souls for the reception of the spiritual gifts." Augustine of Hippo asserts, "So long as our knowledge is imperfect, the eternal light of the evident truth is made known to us through the many and diverse forms of prophecy." And in Augustine's excellent book, The City of God, he relates, "It is only 2 years ago that the keeping of records was begun here in Hippo, and already at this writing, we have nearly 70 attested miracles." And finally, Gregory the Great, when referring to the spiritual gifts, writes beautifully, "We should consider them as footprints of God among us. They fill us with awe and admiration, help us along to long for the celestial things to come, just to revere the secret counsel of the Spirit who is at the origin of them." I could go on and on and on. In fact, I wanted to use 9 or 10 historical quotes from faithful and prominent Christians throughout the ages. But I think that's enough to prove the point that the spiritual gifts did not end with the early apostles or disciples, that the spiritual gifts did not cease with the establishment and canon of God's holy word. For some of the faithful testimonies that we just heard, such as Augustine's and Gregory's, are from well after the establishment of the Holy Scriptures. Nor did God stop some of the miraculous spiritual gifts, such as healing. A thorough understanding of the spiritual gifts is based on a solid foundation of God's holy word and the faithful history and tradition of the church. Such writings from church history provide a rich foundation in spiritual gifts, which have continued to be expressed in various ways within the church and persist to this very day and hour. Throughout church history, we observe remarkable accounts of charismatic activities in the life of the faithful Christians and their disciples. Extraordinary gifts such as prophecy, supernatural knowledge, healing, deliverance, and miracles, including food multiplication, nature miracles, and the raising of the dead, are well documented. These phenomena were common in the astonishing charismatic ministries of figures like Anthony of the Desert, Patrick of Ireland, Martin of Tours, Cuthbert, Augustine of Canterbury, Bernard of Sarvoy, Francis of Assisi, Vincent Ferrer, Francis Pilat, John Bosco, John Corsat, and others, including more recent Christians like Sam Storms, Joshua Lewis, Matthias Talen, Michael Roundtree, and Michael Miller. Again, I could go on and on and on. As we have seen, the Holy Word of God urges us to desire spiritual gifts passionately. And the church throughout history has strongly affirmed this. Why is this so vital for us? Because spiritual gifts reveal the loving, transforming presence and power of the living Jesus, made possible through the Holy Spirit. They serve as a point of encounter with God, and it is an inbreaking of God's kingdom as it is in heaven. A dogmatic faith that lacks personal experience remains hollow. Through exercising the spiritual gifts, God's love and truth shifts from only doctrines, which are good, to an experience that makes God real to so many people. When Holy Scripture mentions knowing God, it refers to knowing Him through experience. Spiritual gifts often spark conversations with unbelievers and lead believers into a deeper conversion and a more radical response to the gospel. The Apostle Paul, guided by God, explains that his proclamation of the gospel was not only in word alone. Our gospel comes to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. In Paul's preaching in Corinth, again, it was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4. In today's world, people generally do not accept authorities as they did in the past, which is somewhat sad. Instead, their opinions about spirituality are shaped by personal experiences. Sadly, many see the church as an organization that drains the joy out of life, replacing it with a narrow existence focused on dull church services that seem irrelevant. However, this was not how people viewed Jesus, the early church, and those who effectively used spiritual gifts throughout history, as we have seen, because spiritual gifts connect people at the very point of their need. In the Christian life, we aim to make love our highest goal. Holy Scripture tells us, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:1. In the Old Testament, the law is described as something to strive for. Sin means to miss the mark or to miss the target. In the New Testament, Jesus summarizes the entire law with two commandments of love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. In pursuit of love, the Holy Bible tells us to to desire the spiritual gifts as expressions of that love. Spiritual gifts serve as channels and mediators of God's very love, facilitating encounters with Christ that enable people to... Friends, when discussing spiritual gifts, some assert that love is the most important gift and should be our primary focus, rather than other gifts. However, love is not strictly a spiritual gift, because spiritual gifts are distributed gifts that the Lord gives to whomever he wishes, whenever he wishes, and as he wills. Love, by contrast, is a virtue for all. In any case, such arguments wrongly create a conflict between love and spiritual gifts that does not exist in the Holy Scriptures. Love is supreme, of course. But Paul, instead of lowering the importance of spiritual gifts compared to love, unites them. Again, let's hear that passage from 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. It is not a matter of choosing one over the other, but of embracing both. After strongly encouraging the church to desire and cultivate spiritual gifts, Paul elevates love as the most excellent way in which they should be used. But earnestly desire the gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The spiritual gifts are tools of love, God's love. That love must be the motivation for spiritual gifts, so we can share Christ's love more effectively with others and expand his kingdom and church here on earth as God wills. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Love. God's love. That is the center of it all. I praise God that God has given me a heart for his church and his people. And because of that, when I see individuals struggling, when I see someone like Emmett, when I hear what my brother and sister here are going through, it's because of that love I ask for the spiritual gifts to come upon me and to come upon them. Because I want God to meet you in your very need. And that's why we're meant to long for them. I have a friend named Tom. His real name is Thomas, Tom for short. But Thomas, he really desired for God to work in him, and he wanted to hear from the voice of God. And he was asking God to work in him in such a way that he would save others. And the reason why he prayed that is because he knew of the great love that God had for him. And he wanted to show that great love for others. But he could not do that with his own skills, with his own talents, as great as those could be. He needed more. He needed guidance. He needed power. And we all do. And so he wanted in a real way for God to work through him in the spiritual gifts so that others would come to know the love of God and be saved. And one day, that happened in a very real way for him. He was driving home one night from work, It was around midnight or close to midnight. And I haven't seen them around here, but in Michigan, we have a bunch of 7-Elevens. And they, before COVID, were open 24 hours a day. And so he was driving home. And all of a sudden, he gets this overwhelming feeling that he is meant to stop at that 7-Eleven. And it seems like he even hears God speaking to him. And what goes through his mind is this. You need to go to that 7-Eleven, and you need to get out of your car. I want you to go and stand near the Coke machine and say at the top of your lungs, I love you. He heard that voice. He thought himself to be crazy. He kept on driving. But he heard the same thing again very shortly after. I need you to turn around, to go park at that 7-Eleven. I need you to get out of your car, to go over to the Coke machine, and to scream on the top of your lungs, I love you. And so he did. He turned around. He stopped in the parking lot. He went into the store, went over by the Coke dispenser, which is really good, by the way. I love some Diet Coke. And he screamed on the top of his lungs, I love you. Feeling embarrassed, he went ahead and started darting for the door. I need to get out of here now. I did what God had called me to do. The clerk at the desk stopped him and said, wait. Why did you do that? Why? And my friend was like, no, don't worry about it. I just got to get out of here. Probably red and flushed as can be. But the clerk insisted, why did you do this? I need to know. He pulls underneath the counter and pulls out a weapon and said, I needed to know because I was going to end it all today. And I have been praying all night long, that if God was real, that he would send someone to go stand by the Coke machine and to say on the top of his lungs, I love you. These gifts that God gives to us, and I would say that this is a gift. This is a gift of prophecy, because the thing about prophecy is it is hearing and speaking the word of God, and or speaking and hearing the heart of God, and he was hearing from the heart of God because God wanted to save that man behind that register that night. And God used such gifts to save a life. How much do you love? And how much do you want to show others the love that God has given you? Will you show up? And you, from the top of your lungs, you've used the gifts that God gives his church and scream, I love you. Does your heart beat along with the heart of God? Friends, it's not just for us and the life of the church, but God gives his gifts for clearly the life of this world and the life of others. And this is why, because of such love, that God wants you and me to desperately long for God's spiritual gifts. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And may God bless and work through us all in such miraculous ways. Amen. Please, pray with me. Lord God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I ask that your Holy Spirit would fall upon us today. What happened in the upper room long ago, we desperately need that today. We need your Holy Spirit to fall upon us. We, O Lord, need to be set aflame, not only as the church, but also as individuals. But we do not want to be set aflame for our own glory. We want to be set aflame for your mission, for your purpose, and to save lives, O Lord. Because there are people desperate in this community, in this church, in our realm that need you. And so, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Loving Father, come. And we ask that you would work through your gifts, through us, as you would will. But Lord, I ask that you would make every single one of us open to using such gifts and open, Lord, even if it makes us feel uncomfortable or makes us step out of our box, that we would say, use us anyway. And Lord, even if it brings embarrassment to us, use us anyway. God, come. We love you, Lord. Show your love through us. Amen.